one of the things I said to him, I says, you know, at training camp in September, if he would have said, you know, the Predators got through the first round and played real hard and maybe got knocked out in the second round, I probably would say that had been a successful season. I don't feel that way now because the hurt is deep. And I just said, don't forget this feeling because that's what's going to drive you to the next level. And we made a lot of steps forward.
Hockey Night in Canada Radio with Jeff Merrick on Sirius Channel 157.
Barry Trotz, head coach of the Nashville Predators. Yesterday, the Vancouver Canucks move on. The Nashville Predators go home. The series 4-2 for the Vancouver Canucks. Pete Weber joining me, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators on FSN Nashville. Pete, how are you today, sir?
Well, my adrenaline flow has run down tremendously right now. I got to tell you that much. It was a long, long nap after an early morning TV appearance. But all in all, I agree with what Barry Trotz had to say there. And I think that the same thing he said a year ago, essentially after the Game 5 loss in Chicago in the first round, drove this team this year.
And it seems as if, you know, sit on the shoulders of those that came before, and there is steady growth that we're seeing with the Nashville Predators, and no reason to expect anything otherwise going into next season. And I'm listening to Barry Trotz talk and how, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the year that we get through the first round, we get into the second round and stretch the President's Trophy, Vancouver Canucks, whatever top team comes out of the Western Conference, you know, to six games, I'd say that's a pretty good season, but it still stings. And I think back, you know, I think back to anyone who's ever won a silver medal. At any event, and the moment you have the silver medal put around your neck, because it's always been said, you don't win silver, you lose gold.
Correct.
It stings, and it's not the medal that you want. But then years go by, Pete, and you get expanded perspective, and you get greater analysis, and you sort of understand the context of things, and you can start to feel proud about what you did. At what point do you think the Preds can actually look at what they did this year and start to feel proud?
I think it'll take a while. It may even take until the outcome of the Cup Final to see if, for example, Vancouver becomes the third straight team to knock the Predators out to go on and win the Cup.
Right.
So it's probably going to take at least a little passage of time before we have any idea when that perspective can be taken. And who knows, maybe it'll have to wait until that night when Jay Moore is handing out the hardware at the Palms in Las Vegas, where you have four Predators finalists there to really understand it all.
When I woke up this morning, I found out that Jonathan Blum, Blake Jeffrion, Matt Halyshuk have been sent to the Milwaukee Admirals. They have a big Game 7 against
them. Yes, tonight.
The series is tied. Yeah, 3-3, a huge Game 7. Boy, it's got to be tough for those three to go down there and, you know, find that emotional timber that it takes to play in a Game 7 after going through what those three kids just went through with Nashville. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, but on the other hand, Jeff, I think it also can provide a bit of a lift after the what might turn out to be momentary depression for them. Because Blake Jeffrion and Jonathan Blum showed me one thing in common, tremendous competitiveness. And I really enjoyed watching that in them. So rather than having a chance to think, I think it's better the Game 7 is tonight than Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because you can still keep it going.
No, that's true. Just keep on sailing and just keep on playing. You know, one of the unfortunate things about, and I was mentioning this on our online show yesterday, one of the most unfortunate things about the Nashville Predators no longer being part of the playoffs is that great playoff beard that Shea Weber has to come off now. And I'm secretly hoping that he doesn't shave it off. Do you know if he has?
I did not see Shea after the game last night. I did see J.P. Dumont. And all of a sudden, he looked like he was 25 years of age after shearing his growth off there. No longer is he one that can go back to Val d'Or and be, you know, called a fur trapper. So,
Coureur de Bois.
That's right.
Called once upon a time, Pete. Good for you. Your thoughts on the play of a couple of different players throughout these playoffs. And I want to focus on Shea Weber, and then I want to get to Jordan Tutu. But start with Shea Weber.
Well, I think it was best exemplified last night by when Ryan Kesler ran Pecorine, and then he effectively was ragdolling Ryan Kesler with his hand around the back of Ryan Kessler's neck on the shoulder pads there. Sort of reminded me of the night he really got furious a couple of years ago here against Andreas Lilja in a regular season game. And as Wade Belak, I think, has told you also, if there's one guy in the Predators you don't want to anger, it is Shea Weber. And I thought that was a very good example of that last night. Shea had, what, 5 shots in the first period of last night's game?
Six total. His shoulders must be aching because he leans everything into those.
Doesn't he? Absolutely amazing. And so he has been a joy to watch. And now everybody here is concerned that the franchise can get him tied up. He is an RFA, as we all know, on the 1st of July. And I am sure, as we recall what those offer sheets were flying around a couple of summers ago, for Dustin Penner and for Thomas Vanek, that probably somebody out there is going to take a flyer on that.
I do wonder about that. Going into what maybe the last year before, who knows what
right.
last year, I don't know if anyone's going to really, and again, having said that, who knows?
It only takes one.
That's it. You're right. It does only take one. And, you know, the New Jersey Devils will find themselves in that situation with Zach Parise as well, and there's a couple, but I don't think any are more high profile than Shea Weber. I would imagine that the money will be there to sign Shea Weber. That won't be
yes.
David Poile's biggest issue.
I think maybe, six home playoff gates have helped take care of that.
Well, yeah, you're right. And not just six home playoff dates, as you know, but $6.6 million or $6.5 million coming from the Comcast deal
right.
Will certainly help, you know, keep players like Shea Weber in the mix. But if I'm Shea Weber, the money is the money, and I can get it in Nashville, or I can get it in Montreal, I can get it in Philadelphia, I can get it in Los Angeles. To me, if I'm Shea Weber, what's David Poile doing around the team?
How Correct.
Is that the big issue with if you're Shea Weber?
I would think that it is. I really would. And the success the team had, mm-hmm. had they, you know, for, you know, this club was very close to not making the playoffs with the way the Western Conference was. It wasn't that long ago they were 11th in the Western Conference. So to see that bit of advancement, and in light of the fact of doing it through some injuries and through the depth that was brought up from Milwaukee and helped the club out greatly, I would think would be a good selling point.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I want to get to Jordan Tuto. I want to make sure we talk about him because he's been a remarkable
yes.
story all season long. It takes a brave man to say that I need help.
Doesn't it ever?
The foolish man says, I can do this all by myself. No one lives on an island. The strong guy says, can you help me with this? And that's what Jordan Tuto did. And something changed when he came back. We always knew the skill was there. Well, Moose Jaw Warrior. We always knew the talent was there. But I didn't know that the discipline was there. But it was, Pete.
Yeah, it was. And I think, in a way, he even surprised himself that way. But he kept it going. He came on. He became a critical part of maybe the most critical line to make everything else work on the team.
True.
With Nick Spaulding and with Jared Smithson and then Jordan on the right wing. And then, hey, that troika certainly combined for a huge score in the game in Anaheim, the overtime win for Nashville that put them up 3-2. I have to excuse my toolbox is working here right now. my apologies for that. But just so everybody knows, it's my cat Max and his automatic rake in his litter box.
Oh, very nice, Pete. Now, you and I have talked about this countless times, and I've put this on one of my blogs once upon a time with your blessing, so I don't think I'm telling stories out of school here. You have one of the most interesting hockey homes, I would imagine, in the world. Confirm or deny, you have a copy of the movie Slapshot in every single room in your house.
In every one of the living area rooms, yes. We have not put them in the three libraries that we have spread throughout the house, the porcelain libraries.
where most of the reading gets done.
Yes, yes.
And that's fantastic. Pete, tell me about Pekka Rinne, because the secret is out. and so much has been made now. It's the big stage, right? Oh, boy, here he comes. He's on Hockey Night in Canada. Now all the secrets will be revealed. You've known about this guy for years. We've talked about Pekka Rinne and the great goaltending, you know, going back years and years, 12 years ago, when the Nashville Predators first came into existence. But tell us about Pekka Rinne, maybe a story that already hasn't been told, because so many already have.
Well, one I really enjoyed behind the scenes, after the Predators' victory in Vancouver in Game 5 on Saturday night, Terry and I got down to the room, and really by that point, it was the trainers, Pekka Rinne, and Joel Ward remaining in the room. And Peck all of a sudden piped up when he saw Joel walk across the room. Joel, I've practiced against you for 3 years. You don't have that shot you scored the game winner on. What's going on here? Where did that come from? That is both his humor and his perspective. And this is a guy, you know, I have seen so many different goaltenders, and you have as well, who even the idea of giving up a goal makes them go absolutely bonkers. This guy will give up a goal, but he's almost like baseball's perfect closer relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. He just concentrates on getting the next guy. And I think that helps separate him from the pack. The fact that he gets the next guy more often than not helps a lot, too.
Well, no, that certainly does. As one defenseman once said to a goaltender, listen, if you're not going to stop the first four, don't bother about the fifth one. Joel Ward, you mentioned, such a fascinating story, and good to see him have a lot of playoff success. 7 goals. Looks fantastic on a kid who was never drafted.
Right.
And when Doug McLean was running the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he's a Summerside PEI guy.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Ward was there going to University of PEI and at one hockey camp, and Doug McLean, who's the general manager, said, you know, offered him a American Hockey League-only deal with Syracuse.
Right, he was going to be a crunch.
Yeah, exactly. He was going to be a crunch. And at that point, he was balancing out that offer, but then in came Minnesota with a two-way deal. You know, there's the package for the Minnesota Wild and the package for Houston. He said, respectively, no to Syracuse, and yes to what he thought would be eventually the Minnesota Wild. He spent 3 years in Houston, became a free agent. What did the Preds see in Joel Ward to bring him into the mix?
Well, they were fortunate in that the pro scouts were looking for a deal that ultimately resulted in Marek Zidlicky going to Minnesota, and they had a good interest in Ryan Jones. But in looking at Ryan Jones, they had noticed that there is this Joel Ward guy who played pretty well and could be pretty hard along the wall and in the corners in front of the net. So that's what sort of convinced them to give him that offer. I mean, hey, you have to get lucky in this business. And looking for one, you see another, hey, more power to you because you kept your eyes open and weren't tunnel visioned on one person.
It's true. Listen, on that, we have to wrap. Thanks as always, Pete, and we'll still continue to check in often, my good man. And I know it still may sting. It stings the players, the coaches, the executives. I know it stings the broadcast crew as well, but you and Terry did a lot of fine work this year. One of my favorite broadcasts every time the Preds are on to tune into. Thanks so much for always stepping up on this show. And have a great off season and take a bow, Pete Weber. You did some good work this year.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff. We appreciate that greatly. And I'll tell you, a tear was coming to my eye last night as the fans were giving the standing ovation to the players and they responding with a salute to them. That was something special. Oh, and my final report in that regard. Decibel meter reached 102.1 last night.
And not a single prompt from the Jumbotron, right?
None.
Just do it, fans. You're fantastic. Pete, as always, a pleasure, my good man.
Thanks to you and Punch. Take care, guys.
There he is, Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators on FSN. They made it to the second round for the first time ever. Joel Ward, 12 points in 12 playoff games. The hockey world has taken notice. An awesome city, great fans, and a very special team with a world-class goaltender, with a defenseman who, for my money, should have won the Norris Trophy last year and should win it this year, and countless other individual stories, but that doesn't matter.